Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, May 22nd edition of MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here in Ontario, Mr. Cole Shelton, where they have just opened up the baseball diamonds, Cole. I don't know if you saw that, but here in Toronto, you can only play with up to five people. So, you know, I know you're planning to play this summer too, but I mean,
yeah.
I don't think five people is enough, man. But how's everything going? Otherwise, good.
Good, man. Golf courses are open.
Yeah, so, I saw that. Yeah,
I went out Wednesday, yesterday. Going out Saturday.
Nice. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do now, so I just go golf with my dad or my brother. And
yeah, no, for sure. I'd imagine where you are. Yeah, there's not too much to do. I'm just kidding, but no, I saw some people playing. I got to get out there too. There was a bowling alley that was supposed to open here in Toronto today, which was crazy to me because like you can't even go to a restaurant. They were going to open a bowling alley, but you know, people were complaining they shut it down. So that's what's going on with me, man. I got a PSVR. It's pretty sweet, Cole, I'm not going to lie. I almost use this as like a week off. Like I feel like, you know, the last 2 weeks were kind of nuts. And then this week was kind of like, you know, a chill week. But there is a ton of news talk. We're just no event to cover. So we're not going to be here breaking down any new fights. But we have a lot of like upcoming fights to talk about, Cole. And honestly, man, there was quite a bit of news this week. But it did seem kind of like a slower week, I'd say, compared to like last few weeks. I'm assuming you feel the same way, right?
Yeah, I kind of use this one just to
let
my mind rest a little, just chill out a bit, not work as much because we don't really have days off. Like we work all the time. So to just cut back the hours a bit, not work as much this week was kind of nice.
Yeah, exactly. Like as anyone who watches the show knows, like the life of an MMA journalist, like you're basically on call like all times of the day, basically. You know, like obviously you can sleep and stuff, but yeah, and there's other people to help you do your stuff. But at the same time, Cole, like I'm always ready to get a tweet and an article written or something like that, you know? So it's crazy, but I'm with you, man. You kind of use it as a week to chill a little bit and just to, you know, enjoy the better weather out there. Obviously, the coronavirus is still impacting all of us. You know, hopefully this tides over very soon. But until then, you know, a lot of things are kind of up in the air, Cole, including these events coming up. I mean, Cole, this card is next Saturday. And we don't even know if it's going to be in Vegas or not yet. Like, we're hoping it's going to be in Vegas. Everyone's hoping that, but it might not be. My guess is Dana White has some sort of backup arena in Arizona ready to go just in case, because that seems like be the next place. But they're cutting it close, Cole, because I think, from what I heard, it's going to be May 27th where they actually
have – which is Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. So they're going to – you know, and then the guys are cutting weight the whole week, and then Friday they're going to make the weight cut. So to me, that seems kind of nuts. They have moved events on short notice before. The Jones-Gustafson event was moved, like, I think it was 24 hours or maybe 48 hours. Wasn't it, Cole? Like, 1 or 2 days maybe? Maybe double-check that on me. But it, it wasn't too long beforehand. I don't think it was a week or anything like that. Let me know, Cole, about that. But basically, you know, it's hard for the UFC to do this. But I think in this situation, they are prepared probably to move the event at the last minute. You see anything, Cole?
It was moved December 23rd. And when was the card?
Maybe it was a week, actually. December 30th?
Yeah, so it was a week.
Okay, one week. Okay, so I guess 2 days actually is kind of cutting it really short. It's kind of nuts, man. I mean, the card looks good from what we've seen so far, but it's pretty nuts, Cole, if they're cutting it this close. So I do want to talk about that Las Vegas card with you for the May 30th, but there's also cards on June 13th, June 20th, and June 27th and June 6th, actually. So, I mean, they're going 5 weeks in a row, Cole. So, you know, four Friday night cards and one pay-per-view in that time period. It's pretty nuts. Now, let's talk about the Jones and Gano thing first, and then we'll get to these cards because there are a ton of fights to talk about. A lot of fights with odds that we're going to, you know, briefly go over them. But let's start with Jones, because the Jones thing, to me, is the thing that was kind of like in the headlines this week and everyone's talking about it. So, basically, Jones and Gano seem like they want to fight. I hope they want to fight because, Cole, that's the biggest fight the UFC can make right now. Like, that is a bigger fight than anything. Jones versus Blachowicz, it's not a big fight. Gano versus Stipe is not that big of a fight. Even though it's a great fight, that's not that big of a fight, you know? Gano-DC is a pretty big fight, but I think Gano-Jones is the biggest fight. So I really hope they can come together and work out a deal for this. But according to John Jones yesterday on Twitter, he said that the negotiations have failed. Basically, the UFC isn't offering enough money to take the fight. They were offering them basically they said, well, it'll sell more pay-per-views, so we'll get more money that way. But they weren't like willing to increase his pay, which is nuts to me because for a super fight like this, you have to. And Nagano basically said the same thing, like negotiations, like the money wasn't worth it for both these guys. So for them to, like, especially for Jones to risk going up to heavyweight, Cole, he needs to get more money. Abe Kaba talked about that with John Morgan in his article on Patreon, and basically said that, you know, they basically need it to be worth their while. Otherwise, he'll just stay at 205 and fight Yan. So Jones said that he was going to retire. And then, like, a couple hours later, Cole's like, never mind, I'm just really emotional. Like, you know, I'm going to fight Yan next. That's basically what Jones said. So it looks like it's going to be Yan versus Jones at 205. But honestly, Cole, I'm really disappointed by what happened, like, with these negotiations, because that's the fight I want to see. I just want to get your thoughts on it, man, because I basically give it all on.
Because even after, even Ngannou tweeted basically saying the UFC didn't want to make the fight. So a lot of people thought, oh, Jones is scared, he didn't want to move up. But even Ngannou was tweeting that, saying the UFC didn't want to pay for it. They weren't even going to pay him any more money. So I think it was the UFC just said, basically, you can do this fight, do it on your original deals. And both of them, the risk-reward factor, for Jones to move up and fight Ngannou or fight Yan for the same amount of money, I'm pretty sure anyone would rather fight Yan. And same with Ngannou, would, like, he rather risk his number one contender fighting Jones, or would he rather wait for a title shot or just fight another heavyweight where he can probably beat? The risk-reward factor just wasn't there, and I'm honestly not surprised. I think the UFC should pay up. It's a massive fight. I think it would make a lot of pay-per-view buys. I think John Jones, obviously a big star, a lot of people think Ngannou could knock him out. Be such an interesting fight that I don't know why the UFC wouldn't pay more money for it.
Yeah, they have to open up the purse strings. Now, obviously, the company, you know, they're not doing great. Like any other company right now, it's a tough time. But to me, it's like, this is the kind of investment you got to make, because this fight sells at least 1 million pay-per-views, in my opinion. Like, if UFC 249 did 700,000, which I was shocked by the way, and it's great. I love that. I mean, I hope that means more money for guys like Gaethje and Ferguson, right? But the UFC, they have to increase the base salary for Jones and Ngannou. I don't know what they get right now, both those guys. I'm assuming Jones makes like $500,000 to $1 million in base, Cole. Then he'll get his pay-per-view points. Then he'll get his under-the-table money like all of them do. Their locker room money and stuff like that. Ngannou, I think, makes like 350, if I'm not mistaken, 300 or 350. So he probably wanted to get at least 500 guaranteed, plus his pay-per-view points, Cole. To me, that's like reasonable too. You know, like, you know, if Jones was saying, I want 2 million, I mean, I'm not saying he's not worth that. I do think he is. I don't know if the UFC would be willing to do that. That's like Conor McGregor money, but maybe that's what he was wanting to get. Maybe he did want, like, not McGregor money, but close to it, Cole, you know, especially in the guaranteed portion of it. So I hope that they can come together with some sort of plan, but I'm not going to lie, because I kind of didn't get my hopes up too much, Cole. Like, I was hoping, because it seemed like they both wanted it, but at the same time, Cole, like, how rare are super fights in the UFC, you know? So I don't know about you, but I didn't get my hopes up too much.
Yeah, I would love to see it happen. I don't know why. I think it is obviously a mass fight. It's one of the biggest fights the UFC could do. And I think another wrinkle of this fight is, say Jones goes up, beats Ngannou, and say DC beats Stipe. Do you really think the UFC couldn't convince DC to do one more fight and have the Jones trilogy at heavyweight?
Heavyweight, yeah. That's an intriguing. That's a really intriguing fight at heavyweight, in my opinion, Cole. I'd really like to see that fight. Let's go to some comments here from Pavlo. What's going on, man? Jones knew this fight would never happen. I don't know. Like, it's hard to say. It's possible they were like, you know what, let's just go on Twitter and like say we want this fight. You know, because Dana said last week, he's like, I don't think these guys actually want this fight. That's what he said. You know, so who knows? Like, there could be some sort of posturing going on here, Cole. But it seemed to me like they wanted to have the fight. Anyways, what other comment did Pavel have here? He would just say, yes, I want to show he ain't scared, but then act like some stupid money. UFC would never accept the money he wants. And he says Ngannou makes 260. Yeah, so I was close. I said 300. So, yeah. I'm guessing Ngannou wanted at least $500,000 guaranteed plus the pay-per-view points, which to me, Cole, that seems reasonable. Like, these are headlining guys on, like, a pay-per-view card. To me, that's, you know, normal. Like, you look at what the guys in boxing make, Cole. Like, even, like, lower-name guys, they make so much money, right? So, sport still needs to catch up with the financial aspect of it. Last thing to say on this, it seems like Jones versus Yan is next. I guess it could headline the July card. Like, it could headline UFC 251, Cole. It's possible. You know, it seems reasonable to me for those two guys that they want to have that fight. I mean, Yan's going to have to take it whenever the UFC offers it, because he'll probably never get a title shot again if he says no, right? And with Jones, it's like, if they pay him what he's worth at 205, what they think he's worth, he should take the fight soon. Here we go. Ultimate Fight Picks. What's up, guys? It's Bucky Betts, got a new username. Dude, nice username and sweet logo, man. I actually like this, dude. Good improvement for you, man. All right. So, anyways, anything else you want to talk about, Jones or Ngannou?
No, I'll just I think there's still gonna be a lot more stuff to come out of it. I wonder if the UFC's gonna realize, see all this backlash and try to go back to the table, but I don't know if we'll see it next though.
Yeah, it seems like Jones versus Jan is next. And again, you know, it's an interesting fight, Kwame. I doubt Jan wins, but who knows? Because Reyes and Santos were extremely competitive with Jones, arguably beat him. And I didn't expect those guys to have much of a chance either. So maybe Jan, you know, he could catch him or something. Probably not. It's probably going to be Jones. And he's already a big favorite. And he's minus 500, Cole. So last time I checked anyway. So he should win that fight. But I don't mind watching. I'd just rather watch Nagano. Like, to me, that's the fight to make. All right, Pavlo, guys, I have a question. So this guy's making guaranteed money, but then plus the period money, right? Yeah, so exactly. So basically, like, the guys, and he says, for those who are not main card, who also receive period money. Okay, so basically, like, it's headliners, like champions, especially. Champions, I think, all get it.
Yeah.
Headliners. So guys on the prelims don't get this money, man. It's like, you don't, like, fight on a pay-per-view card, and you don't get a bonus for that. But if you were headlining the card, when you sold a certain amount of pay-per-views, like, you have to cross a certain threshold. I think it's like 200,000 gold, maybe it's less, maybe it's like 150, and they all pretty much cross that. There's a few events, like a few Frankie Edgar cards, I think, didn't cross that, but for the most part, once they cross that, they get some extra money. Then there's also like locker room money that the UFC will like give to guys, like an envelope under the table or wire to them. And I don't know if they still do that under the new ownership, under the Fajitas, they did, Cole. They would give a lot more of these locker room bonuses. I used to talk to fighters, Cole, like, you know, 10 years ago, and they'd say, like, oh, the UFC slipped me like a $10,000 bonus, you know, for this fight, that basically they just don't pay tax on it because they wouldn't know, right? So I don't know if they still do that under the Fajitas, but guys used to get that extra money. But either way, yeah, it's basically like base, so you're show and win, plus you can win the bonuses, obviously. And then, of course, the pay-per-view money for the champs and the headliners. All right, let's get to the next thing, Cole. Let's start with UFC 250. I have the next bullet point here. UFC 250 shaping up. So there's cards set for May 30th, June 6th, June 13th, June 20th, and June 27th, and July 11th now, too. So there's a ton of cards coming up, guys. It's going to be pretty nuts. Let's just start with UFC 250 because that is the upcoming pay-per-view. It's scheduled for June 6th in Vegas. We have no idea if that's going to actually happen at this point, but looks like it. Right now, there's, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 10 fights booked. Right now, the main event looks like it's going to be Spencer versus Nunes for the women's featherweight title. Cole, that seems like a weak pay-per-view main event, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's a co-main event, if you ask me. What do you think?
Yeah, it's obviously not the best main event, but they've really stacked the other, like, the main card, or I think it makes up for it, because you have a lot of intriguing matchups.
Yeah.
So I think if you look at just the main event as a whole, it's obviously lackluster, but if you look at it with the entire card and what other fights, I think it comes a half decent pay-per-view card, but obviously you would have liked to see a better main event on top of this card.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's still a chance something else could be booked, but I doubt it because it's in 2 weeks. It's a pretty good fight. It's an intriguing fight. I lean Nunes heavily, obviously, like all of us do, I'm sure, but it is an intriguing fight. But like you said, Cole, like, the other fights in the card are kind of more interesting in some ways. You know, there's a lot of odds out, by the way, Cole, for these fights. I'm not going to break down the fights with you by any means, but let me just pull the odds up here, and maybe you can, you know, pick one or two fights to talk about. So main event, actually, Nunes is minus 600 now, Cole. So, again, you know, not much respect for Felicia Spencer, but I think all of us think Nunes is probably going to win that fight. But looking at some of the other fights, you got Cody Garbrandt versus Rafael Sunsell at bantamweight. Interesting fights. Gerald Meerschaert against Ian Heinisch, Alex Perez against UCA Formiga, which is a great fight. A fight you broke here, Alonzo Menifield versus Devin Clark, Mr. Cole Sheldon making the news of that fight a couple weeks ago. Charles Burr versus Mackie Bitolo, Anthony Rocco Martin versus Neil Magny, that's an interesting fight. I really like this fight, Eddie Wineland versus Sean O'Malley, I like that fight a lot. Aljamain Sterling versus Corey Sandhagen, I guess they finally got done. That fight's been rumored for a while, great fight. And finally, Alex Caceres versus Chase Hooper was actually, that could actually be a really fun fight if it goes to the ground. Like, Caceres is very crafty on the ground and Hooper's really good. So that's the card so far. I'm assuming they'll probably add one more fight, maybe two more fights, Cole. Right now there's 10, I believe. So usually they go between 11 and 13 fights for pay-per-views and for all the cards, but obviously a few fights have been falling off. I think they'll probably sign like a couple guys for the prelims, like maybe some guys in LFA, you know, and get them in a short notice. But I'm still holding hope there's another title fight added, Cole, or another like big name fight. I just don't know who would be on such short notice. Overall, though, Cole, I mean, your thoughts on the card and any fights in particular that stand out to you right now looking at it?
Yeah, obviously the Sterling Sandhagen fight, that's going to be probably winner of that fight, winner of Yan Moraes, they do that fight, or just fights the winner or fights Yan for the belt. So that's obviously a really interesting fight. I'm really interested in a Sun Tzu Garbrandt too, because I think it could be a fight where it's a tough fight for Garbrandt. I'm shocked Ali got this fight, because normally Ali gets a lot of favorable fights for Cody, or just to, not just Cody, but all his clients. And I think Sun Tzu is a guy that can beat Cody. So it's definitely, I'm surprised it's him. I thought it would have been somewhere lower in the rankings, if not an unranked guy. Because obviously Cody's on, what, three fight losing streak now, or four?
And knockout too.
So.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about this matchup is Sun Tzu does not present that threat of a knockout. So this is actually a pretty good matchup, I think, for Cody. But I'm with you, Cole. That's a really interesting fight. I mean, Sun Tzu is the most underrated guy in that division. Urban's a forward champ. You know, for me, the Wineland-O'Malley fight, I think, is going to be a really good fight. And I mentioned Cooper and Caceres as well. That's a really fun fight. But overall, I mean, not bad. I just think it needs another big fight, man. Like, this card, I don't think breaks more than, like, 200, maybe 300. I could be wrong. I mean, I was wrong with the last card. It's so much better. Who knows? Maybe people are just really bored. They have money to spend right now. And Pavel says, thanks for answering the question about the money. Yeah, no worries. Okay, so that was UFC 250. Now, let's get to UFC, the May 30th card. So UFC Las Vegas, I guess. I mean, it's only a week away now. It's, yeah, 8 days away, Cole. It seems like most of the card is figured out. Woodley Burns, I believe, is a done deal now, right? Like, it's, yeah. It's
yeah.
Okay, so right now we have 10 fights for this card, too. So just looking at the card, Cole, I'm going to pull it up here. You got Burns versus Woodley in the main event. And the odds for that fight actually have Woodley as a minus 175 favorite. Mr. Gilbert Burns, plus 155. Really interesting fight. And just getting to the rest of the card here, we got Mackenzie Dern making a return against Hannah Cyphers. Augusto Sakai versus Blagoje Varnov, the heavyweights. Jamal Hill versus Clinton Abreu. Brock Weaver versus Roosevelt Roberts. Casey Kenney versus Louis Smolka. Antonina Shevchenko versus Kaitlyn Chookagian, which I know Cole wanted to talk about. Chris Gutierrez versus Vince Morales. Brandon Royval versus Tim Elliott. That should be a really fun fight. And Billy Quarantillo versus Spike Carlo. I'm not going to lie, Cole. These guys are like, a lot of these fighters are really low ranked in their divisions. It seems like it's the kind of card where they're just basically getting guys the fights in their deal. They have to offer fighters a certain amount of fights per year. So they're just getting guys their fights, because a lot of these fights are kind of throwaway fights, honestly. But that main event is pretty sweet, man. I'm not going to lie. Burns versus Woodley's very interesting fight. I feel really bad for Leon Edwards, man. Like, he was training for that Woodley fight. He wanted that. And now Burns might go in and steal his thunder and get that title shot instead. So great, great fight. But any thoughts on the fights on this card, Cole, and just the card overall?
Yeah, obviously the main event is really intriguing. I'm really looking forward to seeing Woodley back, because Woodley hasn't fought since that Usman fight, and he did not look like himself in that Usman fight. He just couldn't pull the trigger. He just looked like, he just didn't look like himself. He wasn't punching. He just looked like tired. He didn't look like the explosive Woodley we're so used to seeing. Gilbert Burns obviously on a run, but this is a massive step up to fight Tyron Woodley. Like, it's going to be interesting. What I'm interested to see is if this fight goes down to the ground, because Woodley's obviously a really good wrestler. Burns, I'd have to give the edge to on the ground in jiu-jitsu, but just takedown defense. We saw what Woodley could do with his takedown defense, where I don't even know if Burns can get down to the ground on the feet. It's definitely interesting. I think Woodley's probably the more powerful and faster puncher, but Burns has the knockout power. Like, he's shown it a bunch. Like, he drops a lot of people. He knocked out Damian Maia. Definitely an interesting fight. Other than that, like, I don't really understand this Kaitlyn Chookagian and Antonina Shevchenko fight. I don't know why they're throwing Antonina to Kaitlyn. And what's even surprising even more is the odds are out for this one, and she's the favorite. Like, we saw her when she got thrown up against a higher level competition against Roxanne Modafferi, and she lost. I think Kaitlyn Chookagian is way better than Roxanne Modafferi. I thought Chookagian would have been like a minus 200 favorite. To get her as the underdog is crazy to me. But other than that, there's obviously like some interesting names like Mackenzie Dern. Let's see how she looks again. I'm really looking forward to this Tim Elliott, Brandon Royval fight. I think that one's going to be really interesting. But like you mentioned, it's a lot of guys lower ranked or just people coming off the contender series.
Yeah, I mean, we know who these guys are, but like a lot, if you're a casual fan, you probably wouldn't have much of an idea who most of these fighters are. Anyways, actually, you mentioned Woodley's takedown defense. So Tyron Woodley right now, according to the UFC record book, He has the third highest takedown defense in UFC history, 93.7%. There's only two guys ahead of him. I'll give you number two is John Jones. He's at 95. And there's one guy ahead of John Jones, according to the UFC record book. You would never guess who this guy is. He's at 95.5%. Just take a random guess, Cole. I'll give you a hint. He's in the men's bantamweight division. Take a guess. Highest takedown defense, according to the UFC.
Before you even said bantamweight, I thought it was Usman or Khamenei, because I know they have ridiculous takedown defense.
Actually, they're not listed, which is crazy to me. That doesn't even make sense to me.
I don't even know at bantamweight.
Yeah, it's a hard one to guess, man. So a guy we already talked about, Eddie Weiland's actually number five, but number one, according to UFC stats, is Jamie Rivera has the highest takedown defense.
You could have given me 10 guesses. I would have never guessed that.
I don't understand this list because, like, Irene Aldana is number four. Does she really have that good of takedown defense? It could have been, like, a fight where she had where the girl wasn't good at taking her down. To me, it's weird. You know, like, I thought Woodley or, I mean, Usman would be here. He's not even on the list. Anyways, that's a really good website, by the way, UFC record book. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that surprises me. It's pretty cool. All right, so let's see what Marcus said. Hey, Marcus, what's going on? As much as I like the Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns matchup, I am disappointed that Covington isn't fighting Woodley. I would love to know who behind the scenes prevented that from happening. Yeah, that would have been a huge fight, I think, for both guys. They're probably saving that fight, if I have to guess, for, like, another card down the road. Have you heard anything from Dan or Colby or anything, guys from ATT Call? I know you're pretty well connected down there.
I know they wanted it. I think it's a money thing because they both know it's a big fight, and I think both Woodley and Covington priced themselves out of it. Like, both of them say, "Oh, Woodley turned down," and then Woodley would say, "Oh, Colby could turn me down." I think it's both. They want both raises for the fight because they know it's a big fight, and the UFC just wants to continue on in their same pay. I think it's a fight we're going to see eventually. I think it's a fight that we kind of have to see just because of the rivalry. I wish it was this Saturday because that would have been sweet to see Woodley Covington. But Woodley Burns is such a good fight. But you never know. If Burns wins, then maybe that just throws the whole Colby Woodley thing out the window.
Yeah. No, for sure. By the way, Pavlo says Kaylee wants to fight the whole Shevchenko family. Maybe she'll fight their mom next. That's a good one, man. Yeah, and by the way, for the odds of that, yeah, that's weird, Cole, because you know, to me, Antonina has been kind of disappointing. You know, seeing Caitlin, she's not the most exciting fighter to watch by any means, but she does, like, know how to game plan and get the job done, I guess. So I think the odds are flipped too. But overall, I mean, it's kind of a throwaway card, like I said. Just going to the other cards here, Cole. This card, June 13th, UFC, ESPN+. This card, again, is, you know, still filling up. I don't think there's a main event except for this one yet, Cole. Have you heard this card? No,
not that I know of.
So the fights for this card, okay, it was supposed to be Yan versus Moraes, but that fight got canceled, I'm pretty sure, because Yan's in Russia. Anyways, as far as this card goes, I mean, this, you talk about throwaway fights, like, again, guys, you know, well, the one, you know, notable fight, I guess, announced so far, Marvin Vettori versus Carl Roberson, the rebooking. This guy's kind of have, like, a rivalry now, so after that video was posted. So, yeah, interesting fight. I still find it weird that Marvin Vettori weighed in at 205 last week. Like, there was no one else on the card like heavyweight. That was really weird, right? So strange. Maybe you need, just contractually, they told him you have to go step on the scale, you know, to get your show money or something like that. Because it wasn't his fault Robertson got hurt. I don't really know, Cole. I have no idea. Anyways, other fights on the card. Kadys Ibragimov versus Roman Dolidze. Gadzimirov Antigulov versus Klitson and Brady. Okay, actually, this fight, this has got to be wrong, right? Because I've said Klitson and Brady already, haven't I? Yeah, I don't know what's going on, guys. That's because that fight was canceled. Okay, so Maria Agapova versus Melissa Gatto, Julia Villa versus Carl Rosa, and Jordan Espinosa versus Mark De La Rosa. So those are the fights announced. Not very many. Wikipedia's got to update that one fight because Abreu's fighting Jamal Hill next week. But as far as that fight card goes, you know, not much is on it. The next card, though, looks really good, June 20th. This card's looking really nice, Cole. This is a UFC on ESPN Plus event as well. I think this one was supposed to be headline. Wasn't this supposed to be headline?
Yeah, this is supposed to be in Saskatchewan. This is supposed to be the Blades Volkov.
That fight, I think, is still booked.
Because Blades on Twitter, someone was saying who he's going to fight next, and he responded saying, "I'm still scheduled to fight Volkov."
Yeah, so I think they're still fighting. So that should be the main event for that card. I mean, I doubt it goes five rounds anyways, so not a big deal either way. But yeah, good fight. Obviously the best fight in the card. But again, you know, the other fights in the card, this card actually, I think, has bigger names than the other ones. Cole, looking at it, Josh Emmett versus Shane Burrows. I mean, that is a great fight, featherweight. Winner takes a real big step forwards at 145. 145 is so stacked right now, Cole. Like Calvin Kattar, Korean Zombie, you know, Volkanovski, obviously, Holloway, and well, Sabi, Yair. Cole, this division is really sick. It's one of the best ones in the UFC. Other fights on this card, Lyman Good versus Bilal Muhammad. So Lyman Good was the first UFC fighter test positive for COVID-19. He's going to return to the octagon 2 months later against Bilal Muhammad. It's a rebooking from UFC 249. Also on the card, Raquel Pennington versus Marion Renault in the women's bantamweight division. Jillian Robertson versus Courtney Casey at women's 125. And Roxanne Modafferi versus Lauren Murphy at women's 125. So some decent names on this card. The winner of Modafferi Murphy, like, you guys are going to laugh, but they could actually get a title shot at 125. Yeah. Because that they probably do, actually. That division is so shallow. The Emmett Burgos fight's good. Overall, I mean, it looks like it's shaping up to be a pretty good card, I would say, Cole, this one.
Yeah, that's obviously that Emmett Burgos fight. I'm looking forward to that one so much. But if Courtney Cake's making a real quick turnaround, and it's going to be interesting. Jillian Robertson's obviously really good on the ground, so that should be interesting. But Casey looked good at flyweights. Let's see how she looks against a step up in Robertson.
Yeah, when Ariel posted that list of fights the other day, I was surprised when I saw Casey versus Robertson. I actually had to, like, I went on Google just to look at the roster again just to make sure I wasn't forgetting another Casey or Robertson. I was like, whoa, she's coming back pretty soon. But, you know, she had a quick win, and she looked good in that fight too, getting that armbar from the bottom. I mean, it doesn't happen that often in the UFC. So, you know, that was a really good win for her. I like Courtney Casey. She's a tough fighter. UFC on ESPN 9. They said the next card called June 27th. This card doesn't have a ton on it right now. According to Wikipedia, these fights, I think, are on it still. Alexa Grasso versus Jian Kim. Vivian Arujo versus Jennifer Maia. Aspen Ladd versus Sarah McMahon. That is probably the most interesting fight that has been announced. Any thoughts on this one at all?
Yeah, just the Aspen Ladd one. I think, winner of that might get a title shot.
Especially if it's Ladd. I mean, she hasn't fought Nunez that cool. That's actually an interesting fight.
Yeah.
McMahon's already fought her, and she didn't fare too well. And the last fight card that we're going to talk about really quickly, UFC 251. I saw you writing the article yesterday about Paige VanZant. So go ahead and, you know, talk about this event.
Yeah, so this is Paige VanZant's fighting. She's fighting, what's her name? Amanda Ribas, yeah. But what's interesting about this is it's now at flyweight, where originally they were booked at strawweight back in Brasilia. Yeah. So I don't really know why, because they're both kind of strawweights, but it's definitely interesting. Even Paige said, coming to an island near you. So maybe this is going to be the first event we see on Fight Island.
Perfect fight for it.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting fight. That's the only one for 251. This would have been International Fight Week, so I wonder if they're going to stack this card up, especially if it's the first fight on Fight Island. Maybe this event becomes something. It's definitely what they do. If this is Fight Island, then you're opening a lot of options for a lot of opponents. You get a lot of European fighters or international fighters to come over. So this card could be something, but the way the UFC is booking is they're just booking like one or two each in advance. You really won't know about much of these fights for quite a while.
That's the way Dana White wants it. He doesn't want the media to get the events canceled, Cole. But yeah, this is an interesting fight. I like the matchup. So it's a rebooking again of a fight that was supposed to happen at UFC Brasilia. And Amanda Ribas, I think, fought Miranda Marcos and beat her by decision. Lopsided fight. Amanda Ribas is a beast, man. I mean, look what she did to Mackenzie Dern. She's a really good fighter, really talented. I think she's a Waleed Ismail client, Cole, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty sure Waleed's her manager, so maybe you can talk to her at some point, because she's actually she's got a great personality. See her interviews. She's very like high energy, which I love. And Paige VanZant obviously is a pretty big star, I think, you know, in her mind anyways. This is a big fight for Paige because it's the last fight in her UFC contract. So the fact that it's happening 125 is kind of interesting to me. Here's my guess, Cole. First off, Amanda Ribas, when she called Paige out after the Marcos win, I remember writing the article and she said, I'll fight her at 115 or 125, whatever's better for Paige, I'll fight her at that weight class. Here's my guess, Cole. Bellator doesn't have a 115 division. Of course, they can make a division for Paige, but they do have a 125 division. Everyone has Paige connected to Bellator because her husband, Austin Vanderford, fights there, and she said some good things about them. I think she probably does end up signing with Bellator. My guess is she wants to get a fight here and a win at 125, and then you could do that title fight against Lima Lay in the Bellator, which is a massive fight for Bellator. That would be my guess, Cole, you know? Really have no idea. I mean, it could be just a thing where they were like, you know, let's not cut weight for this event, but that just makes a little more sense than for me. Wow, Cancero really likes Amanda Rivas, eh, in this fight. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us do, actually. Amanda Rivas is a monster. She's looked amazing her last couple fights. So, yeah, she probably...
What do you think the odds will be for that?
It's going to be tighter than this guy thinks, and he says plus 600.
Page is a, he has a lot of public bets.
It'll probably be, like, minus 200 for Rivas, or maybe less, minus 150. I think Rivas will be favored. If she's underdog, holy crap. Like, if she's an underdog, I would unload on Rivas in this fight. I think she'll be favored.
I don't think it's going to be as heavy as Cancero is, just because Paige is such – she's going to get a lot of public bets.
That's the thing. Ultimate Fight Picks says minus 300. Listen, I agree with you, actually. I think minus 300 is reasonable. Like, I think she should be a 3-1 favorite. But take into account the action from the sports books. Like, Paige Ranzai is going to get a lot of action. They're going to make the line lower, I think. But we'll see, Cole. I mean – I would say a small favorite for Rivas, just because there's going to be a lot of respect shown from bettors for Paige, and that'd be my guess, Cole. Either way, I think she wins that fight, guys. You know, if I had to guess. And the other fight for this card, I like this fight too: Shamil Abdurakhimov against Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane, Cole. That's the guy that we both like at heavyweight as a future contender. I mean, there's a few guys that come up occasionally, like Nagano and this guy that you're like, well, this guy's special. So. I don't want to compare him to Nagano. I just think the rise is kind of similar. But this is a big fight for this guy, Cole. If he wins this fight, you're looking at a top 10 opponent next. I know you're all aboard the Ciryl Gane hype train, right?
Yeah, because he's not ranked here. Shamil's number 11. I think this is a winnable fight for Gane. I think if he wins this, like, you could be looking at him fighting like the loser of like Volkov, Blades, like someone around there. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of just rush this guy to the top, because he seems like someone that could be a future title contender and a title contender very soon.
Yep. Ultimate Fight Picks. I'd love to get Rivas as a small favorite. I think she'll be a small favorite here. I could be wrong, though. I mean, it could be a little higher, but it won't be that crazy, guys. It won't be, because first off, Paige can still win that fight, you know? And second off, there's going to be a lot of respect shown from bettors, because a lot of people still don't know how good Rivas is, in my opinion. Like, she's a beast, but people don't know how good she is. A casual fan, if, like, my friend texted me, like a friend who doesn't watch MMA, was like, oh, should I put money on Paige as a dog? That's probably what he'd say, Cole. And I'd say no. But she'll attract attention as an underdog. Anyways, so yeah, as far as that card goes, it's done. One other fight that I forgot to mention here. I don't know what card it was booked for. Did they say, yeah, Cole? Davison Figueiredo versus Joseph Benavidez 2. Did they say what card? I'm assuming
it's 251. On July 18th, which is after 251. I'm probably just going to headline another fight night.
Yeah, that'll headline a fight night card. Jeez. Bet Online, they have Rivas? Do they really? Wow, where is it? Yeah, but you know what? That's their odds, bro. I think it'll go down. I think Dave opened the line a little high. I think it'll go down. People are going to jump on Paige at 310.
People will be all over Paige at 310.
Of course. So how odds work in America? Basically, like, right now, Paige is essentially a 4-1 favorite almost. That's basically what it means. But that's BetOnline's odds. And Dave Mason, who runs their odds-making thing, basically he's great. Like, I think Dave's great. But I think that once it goes to five times in the other websites, people are going to bet on Paige, like, with higher limits. So that's my guess. But I should have checked the odds before I was saying it. But to me, that seems kind of high. And it actually opened at minus 450, and it's already down to minus 375.
I didn't even think the odds makers are 200s.
To me, that's nuts. I think they opened it way too high. But at the same time, it looks like a lot of us like Rivas in that fight too. And Shiro, if Davison makes weight, then he might lose to Joey, as long as the headbutt doesn't get Joey again. Yeah, I mean, that fight definitely had a controversial ending, but I still think Figueroa probably would have won. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, I'm not someone that thinks the headbutt, because a headbutt, two people get headbutt, so Figueroa would have got headbutt too. And the thing is, it was Benavidez's fault. Like, it's not like Figueiredo let his head in. Benavidez was, I don't think he was fighting a smart fight. I think Figueiredo really showed off a lot. I think a lot of people were wondering how he'd look. His striking is obviously a lot better than Benavidez. He has a lot of power. I think the only question mark is about his wrestling defense, because we saw Formiga really expose that. But if he can stuff the Benavidez takedowns, which Benavidez doesn't go to the ground a whole lot, I think it's still Figueiredo's fight to lose.
Yeah, it's an interesting fight. I mean, there was some controversy, but I don't know, Cole. I hold a vision. I'm guessing the winner of Perez and Formiga gets the next title shot, I guess. Formiga has a win over Figueiredo. They could do a rematch. That's kind of interesting. I'd like to see Perez make a run. You know, I like Alex Perez. He's definitely a talented guy. anyways, I'm still very surprised at the odds for the Van Zandt fight. But again, Cole, you know, it's once it hits the other sports books, it's going to go down because people will bet on Paige Van Zandt. Rain, come on, you're telling me you wouldn't take a shot on Paige Van Zandt plus 310?
Oh, I would.
Matt, the fight's closer than that. It is. Rebus should win, guys. Don't get me wrong, but I'm surprised by those odds. I'll be honest. Okay, let's get to some other news here. Switch gears here, Cole. Edson Barboza. Did you talk to him yet?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's go through your interview. What did he tell you? And I know he wants his win bonus. What did he say to you?
Yeah, so he did a bunch of interviews. He did like Ariel, Junkie. But something which he only told me from what I – because I've read a bunch, which I was surprised no one asked about. I asked him if he's staying at featherweight.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was just saying, I just want my win bonus. But to me, he's literally like, if I don't get my win bonus, I'm not going to cut to 45. Like, it's a lot of work. I want the UFC to show me respect. So I would be surprised if we don't see Barboza back at 145 again. He's really frustrated with the UFC. Like, he's not happy because what he's mad about is Dana White said he won. So he says, if Dana White said I won, why doesn't Dana White pay me money to say that I won?
Yeah.
Because right now it's all talk. He thinks he should have got the win. It was definitely a close fight. I've watched it again. I thought Ige won the night of, and now I'm starting to lead Barboza. It was all about that second round. The second round was so close. It was a super close fight. I think that was one of the more closer fights, the close decisions on the card. It's just so, and I just don't know where Barboza goes from here. Obviously, I think he still deserves a ranked guy. They removed him from the lightweight ranking, which to me doesn't make sense.
That's crazy, yeah.
So I don't know where he goes from here if he fights at 145 or lightweight, but he wants to turn around quick in July, so let's see if he does it and what weight class it'll be at.
It doesn't make sense that they took him out of the lightweight rankings because, like, they've kept guys like Connor and stuff at Cowboy. These guys are 170 and 155, you know, at the same time. Pettis, when they were switching weight classes. So why the hell has Bart Bozeman been removed? You know, he's been getting screwed the last week bad. So he got screwed by the judges, and now he got screwed by the rankers too. And now it looks like he's getting screwed by the UFC. It's not really getting screwed. I mean, he didn't win the fight on paper, so they don't have to honor the win bonus. But to me, like, they could have. They used to do, again, you know, under the Fertitta brothers' quote, they used to, like, often, Dana White would be like, I thought this guy won the fight, so I'll pay him money. There was a fight, I think it was Ricky Fukuda versus Nick Ring, Canadian guy, back in the day. And Nick Ring, I believe, won a decision, and Dana White's like, we're giving Ricky Fukuda the win bonus, you know, for instance. There were some other fights like that, too. So that's just an example. He should get his win, but I feel bad for the dude. I thought he won that fight, you know, and I picked Ige. I was like, come on, Ige, make me look smart here, but I didn't think he won the fight. Second round was super close, though. I mean, it was close, but it was like one of those fights where it was like close, but I also thought that Ige won the fight, Barboza won the fight, just because of that damage he did at the end of the second round. He did more in that at the end of the round than Ige did the rest of the round. It wasn't like a blowout. I know we were talking about it during the fight call. You were like, I think Ige's actually winning this round. I remember you told me that. So obviously you were on the same page as the judges. And I don't think you're like necessarily wrong, but it does feel kind of wrong that Barboza got so screwed under this call and now he's not even ranked. So, you know, to me, I think they'll stay at 145 and I think I think the matchmakers will give him a top 10 opponent. Even coming off the loss, I think they'll like give him someone in that top, you know, just taking a look at the rankings quickly. Again,
what sucks for him is this is two straight fights where he's lost a split where people thought he won.
I know, and I thought he won both fights. I thought he won the Paul Felder fight was way more clear in my opinion. That was 327s on either side. I remember that. People were just shocked. You know the sad part is, Cole, you can't even really blame you can't say that the UFC is without blame because they're the ones who hire these judges too sometimes, these self-sanctioned events like the one in Abu Dhabi. They chose the judges. And they still screwed up. Anyways, right now, okay, so Barboza's not ranked. Ige's number 11, so Barboza really should be like 10 or 11. What about Barboza versus Jeremy Stephens? Why not? Jeremy Stephens is number 9, so we'll give Barboza a chance to get a top 10. I think it'd be a really fun fight. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good fight, especially because they're both coming up losses. They're both big names.
Yep.
Have a ton of knockout power. It'd be a great fight.
By the way, Jose Aldo's number 13, so it's weird. It's like, it's either he's ranked in the top 10 because he's obviously top 10 guy, or he's not in the rankings at all. Like, why is he 13? That's so random, isn't it cool? Like,
yeah, it makes I don't get the rankings.
Alan is ranked above Jose Aldo. Wow, okay. And I like Alan a lot, he's good. Anyways, next thing I want to talk about here, Anthony Smith. He Basically said that Jason Herzog apologizing for the non-stoppage was a coward move. And, you know, Herzog, I don't think he responded to it. I know a troll account responded, and I got because I thought it was legit. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really like the way Smith's dealt with the situation. I feel like he's basically said, like, you know, my corner, I would have fired them had they stopped the fight. And that's why they didn't, I guess that's why they didn't step in, because maybe he told them, like, yo, I'll fire you guys, and they don't want to lose their jobs. You know, maybe that's what it was. He seems way too proud. And honestly, you know, I like Anthony a lot. He is great and great fighter and also, like, really well-spoken. I don't like how he's handled the situation at all, Cole. You know, I feel like Jason Herzog is one of the best refs in the business. And when he came out and apologized and was like, you know what, like, I can do better next time and I will learn from this. Like, I thought that was amazing. Like, I loved seeing that from him, you know, from any ref. That's what you want, you know. Jason Herzog's like the gold standard when it comes to refing. So, you know, the last few weeks, actually, Keith Peterson is another great ref. And, you know, these guys are getting slagged on by the fighters, which is so unfair. Like, what Cruz said was way worse, because he said basically he accused the guy of being drunk, like, during his fight, which was so, like, wrong of Cruz. Smith, you know, calling Herzog essentially a coward, that's kind of wrong too, in my opinion. So I don't know about you, Cole. Like, I just don't really like how these guys have handled it. And I feel like these refs are kind of getting the short end of the stick here.
Yeah, I agree, especially with Keith Peterson. I think that's like slamming his character, saying like, yeah, he doesn't care much about his job. He just shows up to his job drunk. No other fighter said he was drunk. Herb Dean even had a good thing. He's like, all the refs are around the same room. If one of us suspects someone's drunk or like high or anything, like, we're going to not let them ref, like, because they're putting like humans in, like, their lives are in danger if they don't know what to solve the fight, if they're drunk. Like, and it, no other fighter came out and said, yeah, I can smell alcohol on him. Like, so yeah, it just makes Cruz look even worse.
Yeah, it was lame of him. I don't know. Cruz, he lost, man. Just accept the loss. I mean, he got dropped, and Cole, I don't think he really was defending the punches, you know. I know it kind of happened fast, but it was kind of like the Dillashaw fight, you know. It just happened so quick. Cejudo just, like, you know, the Anthony Smith Glover Teixeira fight, there was times where Glover, if he had more, like, cardio or energy, Cole, he could have, like, rained down a bunch of shots in a row, but he, like, had to, you know, conserve his energy, so Glover wasn't able to do it. But Cejudo, it was just, like, a barrage of punches, man. It was crazy. It's like someone hitting the speed bag, and then, you know, the ref stopped it. Teixeira Doji, I believe Anthony Smith, it's not his coach's or corner's fault if the fighter wants to die in the ring. They all want to throw, honestly, MMA fighters and boxers, combat sports athletes, are wired differently, you know. They're willing to die in the ring. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. Like, Justin Gaethje said that many times. Anthony Smith's the same way. They're almost too proud of themselves in a way. You know, they let the ego take over sometimes. Anthony Smith's a guy who lost a lot of fights by TKO in his career. I'm a little surprised that he was so, like, upset about this. To me, like, he lost fair and square, and, you know, I don't see the controversy as far as he goes. You know, I think that what Herzog said was 100% correct. Pavlo says he said that protect his corner. Yeah, and that too. I mean, again, you know, you guys heard me go on my rant last week. Chael Sonnen went on a huge rant about this as well. So, yeah, that's pretty nuts. A couple other things there, but let's get to this comment from Marcus Williams. I saw John Morgan of MMA Junkie said he cannot post his new John Jones interviews on Junkie because he's furloughed from MMA Junkie. Do you guys see things getting back to normal for media soon? Great question, Marcus. I saw it this morning too when I woke up. I was a little surprised. Now, first off, John Morgan, I've met him a couple times in person. He is one of the best journalists. He's an extremely hardworking guy. He goes to all the events. You know, he has got a young son, I believe, and a wife, and he leaves at home and goes away for, like, you know, a week at a time. It seems like a glamorous life going to all these different locations, but MMA writing and journalism, what he does, all the reporting and all the interviews and all the writing, Cole, all the news articles, that's a lot of work. I don't know, like, how well I do at John's job, because I think he does a lot. I was surprised when I saw this news today. From what I've heard from a friend of mine, they said that basically I think Junkie's going to furlough all these guys just because right now ad revenues are so down in the MMA media space, like, not MMA media, sports media space, I should say. Because there's no sports right now. There's UFC, but UFC doesn't really pay the bills for these big companies like UFC today, Cole. Like, they rely on the NBA and the NFL and the MLB, you know, these big sports. They rely on those. But from what he said, I think it's only for a week. And it's basically just a way for the company to save some money. But these guys aren't fired by any means. They're still part of Junkie. The only guy that got let go from his job was there's a couple guys. Steve Mulhausen at DAZN, he said that on his Twitter that he was let go. He's a really good guy. And the other guy was Peter Carroll at MMA Fighting, which surprised a lot of people, including me and Cole. I mean, go look at his tweet. It has like 3,000 likes, Cole. Like, people respected that guy's work. I'm sure he'll latch on. You know, he'll probably go to, like, if I had to guess, like, he'll, you know, go to like the Mac Life. I think that'd be a great, you know, spot for him, as you know, those guys are, you know, up in the same area of the world. But yeah, as far as the MMA Junkie thing goes, I don't like know for sure, because we don't work there, so we don't know for sure. For what I heard though, they're gonna like furlough these guys. You know, to answer your question, Marcus, do I think see things getting back to normal for media soon? I hope so. I mean, for me and Cole, like, it has affected us, but not me and Cole are lucky. It hasn't affected me as much as I thought, because I still have my job with BJ and with Oddsbreaker. But the workload's lessened, so it has affected like the bottom line for sure. But I still have my employment. It's when guys are actually getting like fired and laid off and terminated. You know, that's when it hurts. So, you know, sadly enough, you know, I don't think Peter's going to be the first casualty, I'm guessing, of the COVID-19 cutbacks. Because he said it was a cutback from COVID-19. Cool. Unfortunately, I think you will see some of these guys from big websites get released at some point. I don't want to really speculate on the websites. Like, I have some in my mind, but it's not fair to those guys. All I can say is I think, you know, there's at least, you know, a couple like big name websites that pay their guys well and they deserve it. But because their parent companies are, they really need the support of the regular sports, it might affect the MMA guys eventually. So any thoughts on the media landscape, Cole, in the last week, guys like Peter getting let go and John getting furloughed?
Yeah. So what I've heard about Junkie is they don't need everyone on staff at all times right now. So what I've heard is they're doing like 1 or 2 week furloughs where it's just going to be like John, and then it'll go to like Mike Bond, and it'll go to this person, then it'll go to this person. Yeah. So they still have Junkie to come back to in a week or two. They just have to, Junkie just can't afford to pay that. But with everything, I'm not surprised to see people get let go. It could obviously sucks.
Yeah.
You don't want to see anyone lose their job, but everyone kind of saw this coming, just because I know UFC's back, but the NHL, the NBA, the MLB is not back. Where a lot of these sports companies that cover the UFC, they also cover all those sports, and you still have to pay those writers. So you can't just cut all the NHL writers and just keep UFC, because what happens when the NHL comes back? They got to keep everything. So it definitely sucks, but I hope things get back soon, but probably like ad revenue won't go back until who knows when, once everything's back to normal.
Yeah, Cole's got a bang on there. So, you know, we'll see what happens to Marcus. But, you know, the other thing I'll say about that is these guys, they're, you know, they've had their employment affected. They're salaried positions, guys. Like they have, you know, salary. Me and Cole work as freelancers, basically. So it's different for us because we're getting paid per like piece, basically. It's a little bit different, Cole, I think, you know. I think if we were both on salary, Cole, we probably would have got let go by now, you know, because it's, you know, as much as we love the MMA, the little bubble we're not immune to what's going on in the bigger world right now. So, you know, luckily me and Cole are, you know, we're still employed and we're doing well. And, you know, we're trying to bring in some enjoyment to anyone who's maybe, you know, laid off and just listening to this podcast right now, or anyone else just wants to, you know, talk about fights. Okay, Ciro Doju. If Jones does fight, Ngannou, odds are 125 on Jones being underdog. I saw those odds. Ngannou open as a slight favorite over Jones. What are the odds right now for that? It is Ngannou -145 and Jones +125. Yeah, I don't know, Cole. I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, Ngannou deserves respect. He's a heavyweight. He's a bigger guy. But Jones has never lost, really. I mean, the Matt Hamill fight, and that's it. You know, he's a money fighter. He wins you money. I don't know, Cole. I was surprised that Jones was the underdog a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I was surprised Jones the underdog. I think Jones to be the favorite. We saw Miocic be able to take Ngannou down. I think Jones is a better wrestler. And Jones is the best, like, he's the smartest in game, like, just changing his strategy. I think he's not dumb. He's not going to just stand with Ngannou. He's going to mix in his strikes with his wrestling. And I just think he's going to take a decision if they fight.
And here's the thing, if they fight, Cole, he's not going to fight his 205-pound weight. He's going to put on weight for the fight. Like, he's not going to be that much smaller than Ngannou. Jones is, like, he's, I think, the biggest light heavyweight, if not, you know, maybe Johnny Walker's a little bigger. I'm not sure, but they're both, like, really big dudes. At 205, at heavyweight, he won't be, like, a big heavyweight, like a guy like, you know, Curtis Blades or Overeem or whatever, but I think he's, like, he wouldn't be that much undersized than a guy like, I don't know, like Blagoje Vanev or something. Like, he's a top 10 guy, you know, so I don't think Jones would be that much out of his element. You know, look at Cormier. Cormier is undersized and Jones is bigger than him, and Cormier knocked out Stipe. So, you know, Stipe versus Jones, I don't think the size difference would be as big as some people think. I think Steve would be a little bigger. Nagano's obviously bigger. You know, I guess that's why he's the favorite, but yeah, I don't know. In Ultimate Fight Picks, I got Jones winning that fight 60% of the time. And Kenshiro says Jones should be -4 fave versus Nagano. I think that's a little higher, -450, but I think he should be favored. I was a little surprised. Justin Harris, what's going on, Justin? Jones should be fighting Reyes. Yeah, it looks like he's going to fight Jan next, man. So great fight, I think. But the Reyes fight, for sure. I mean, a lot of us thought he'd get that rematch. I thought Reyes won that fight at UFC 247. I also thought Thiago Santos won at UFC 240 or 239, whatever it was. Maybe they'll do Reyes versus Thiago Santos next. All those guys have kind of been – I know Thiago Santos wants it. They could do that fight. That'd be a fun one. Just a couple more things, guys. If you have any more questions, throw them in here. Me and Cole are almost done here today. A couple more things, Cole, quickly. Alistair Overeem wants that Jorginho Rosenstruck matchup rematch. You know what? I would like to watch it. I mean, because the first fight, I had Jorginho, and it took him almost the full 25 minutes to get the job done. He got the knockout. But Overeem was like 4 seconds away, literally, from winning a clear unanimous decision. So I wouldn't mind a rematch, but I think Derek Lewis would be the better fight because – he's the only guy in the top five right now coming off a win. Dana White said that Overeem will get a top five opponent, Cole. So I preferred seeing Lewis versus Overeem. But if Overeem wants that Jorginho rematch, it's not bad either. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do it just because it happened so soon. The UFC's not one to do like non-title fight immediate rematches. I think there's other fights for both of them. I would like to see it again. I'd want to see if Overeem beats Rosenstruck again, that's obviously a massive win. Rosenstruck, he already beat Overeem. If he can knock him out again, it gets him back in the win column. It makes sense ranking-wise. It makes sense for the division. I just don't know if the UFC would do it.
Yeah, I don't know either. Just a couple more comments here about the Reyes. Moreira Santos is a rematch. I think so. Reyes lost over it. And towards ACL, fall like Armin. Yeah, man, Thiago Santos and that performance he had, Cole, on those busted knees. The guy had double knee surgery after the fight, Cole, and he almost beat John Jones. He came closer than anyone else because he actually got a split decision. According to the judges, Reyes lost unanimously. Anyways, more Reyes stuff. Justin Harris, is there any news about Robbie Lawler? Wouldn't mind Mike Perry versus Robbie. Be a great fight. Love to see that fight. I haven't heard anything. I think, like, again, we talked about this the other day, I think, Cole, like I said, or maybe it was just me, but I was saying, Vicente Luque, Nico Price, Mike Perry, Robbie Lawler, all these guys, you can just kind of mix and match them, Cole. You can just kind of, like, throw a dart on your board and pick the matchups. They all be exciting. Robbie is probably at that point. He's kind of at a tough point in his career because he's not really a contender anymore, but he's not he doesn't want to be a gatekeeper. I think he'd rather, like, not fight that often than just be, like, a gatekeeper. I think Robbie wants big fights. So I'd love to see Mike Perry versus Robbie. I mean, maybe Mike Perry can kind of talk a lot of crap and get Robbie interested, but I don't see Robbie going for that fight, Cole. You know, I think he wants a bigger name, if I had to guess, because, you know, he's 38 now, Cole, Robbie Lawler. In his last fight, he's lost three straight fights, lost four of his last five, two elite guys. But to me, like, you know, he only fights big names, Cole. So I don't think he'd take that fight, although I think it'd be a fun fight. I'd rather see Mike Perry versus Nico Price. That's the fight I want to see. Any thoughts, Cole?
Yeah, I just don't see Lawler fighting that guy. Like, I know Jeff Neal wanted Robbie Lawler. I just don't think Robbie Lawler's fighting a guy like Jeff Neal. I know that would be a fun fight, but Robbie Lawler's getting a guy like one fight I wanted to see, like, before Lawler lost all these fights was that Stephen Thompson fight. That's a fight that I just think should have happened a long time ago, and I don't know why it never happened.
Yeah.
Then there's, like, obviously interesting fights, like maybe like an RDA, maybe a name like that gets Lawler out. Maybe Ponzinibbio, because they were supposed to fight at 245. Like, maybe guys like that, but
yeah,
Lawler's not going to be fighting guys like Jeff Neal, Vicente, Luque, like just guys trying to build a name off of him.
And Ponzinibbio's not ranked, but they were, I think, we're supposed to fight UFC 245. Yeah, so the fight got scrapped. Pavlo says Robbie versus Maia. That's the final fight I think that maybe would interest him. But Maia said he wants Diego Sanchez next, and or Saul Cerrone. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm with you, Cole. I think Robbie versus Thompson. But Thompson's ranked number 5 right now. I don't think Thompson would take that fight. You know, Vicente Luque is ranked one below. Jeff Neal is ranked one above Lawler. But are those the kind of names that would get Lawler excited to fight again? Like, he's made a lot of money in his career. He's obviously been a champion. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame probably one day. So it needs a big fight. Now, you know, there a guy like Anthony Pettis versus Robbie Lawler. Like, that's the kind of fight I think he'd like. That, I think that'd be a fun fight, Cole. What do you think about that one, Anthony Pettis?
Yeah, that'd be a good fight too. Like, even maybe if you get Nate Diaz back, if it's not going to be McGregor, like, so, like, it's going to be a name like that for Lawler.
Actually, Nate Diaz would be a great matchup, I think. I mean, obviously, Nate, I don't think would take that fight, but it'd be a great fight. All right, just a couple other things here quickly. Joe Rogan signed a massive deal with Spotify, for $100 million. So that's pretty big. I mean, to me, like, what does he need the UFC thing for? I know he loves it. Obviously, he gets, you know, front row seat, cage side seat, but this is almost like, to me, like the path of him, you know, kind of leaving the UFC. I think I've thought about this for, I've thought this way for a long time, but Cole, like, I really feel like, you know, I'd probably focus on the podcast. It's going to be an exclusive thing. I feel like eventually he's going to leave UFC anyway. So maybe this, you know, it's almost like this is the start of something. What do you think?
Yeah, because he's obviously cut down events. Like, he used to do a ton. Then he used to do all the pay-per-views. Now he's just North American pay-per-views. Yeah. He doesn't like traveling all the time. I get it. I wouldn't want to travel. Because when he travels for a UFC event, he has to leave his podcast for like 4 days at a time, where he makes so much money off his podcast. So is it really worth it for him to leave 4 days at a time to go to a UFC event? Like, I know he loves it, but he can easily just do those fight companions on the podcast. Yeah. Make money on the podcast and still act like a commentator.
Exactly. So I think he'll, you know, he'll do his thing. But yeah, obviously we're all happy for Joe. Joe's killing it, man. I remember watching Joe. I don't know, like, if when you were a kid, Cole, if you watched that Fear Factor. That's why Rogan, when I was a little kid, I was like, whoa, this guy's pretty cool. And then, you know, UFC commentator. All right, Justin Harris, Petr Yan or Sterling for 135 strap. Sterling's fighting Corey Sandhagen at UFC 206. The winner of that fight versus Yan makes a lot of sense for the title. If Cejudo is legitimately retiring, which, according to Eric Albarracin, Mr. Captain America, or no, not Cap, what do they call him? Captain America, right? Is that what they
Captain
call him?
Eric.
Captain Eric, okay. But I know his Twitter handle is like something America's or something. Anyways, yeah, Captain Eric is a really good coach, by the way. But I know you talked to him, Cole. So if you want to quickly, like, go through that. And anyone who has any last second questions, throw them in now, because me and Cole are leaving in 2 minutes. Throw them in now. Quickly answer that question, Cole.
Yeah, so I talked to Captain Eric. He's obviously a character. He's a funny guy. He's a good guy. But he thinks the Cejudo's retirement's permanent. He said he's a guy that always talked about wanting to leave the sport on top. And he left playing on top. Like, he won the 2008 Olympics at 21. He just walked away from the sport. No, like, he could have done 3-4 more Olympics and just been an Olympic wrestler. And he just said, I'm done with the Olympics.
Yep.
He's been a guy training combat sports since he was like 5 years old. I know he's still young, but that's a long time you're doing combat sports, cutting weight all the time and wrestling and fighting. Like, I think he's just kind of sick of it. And really, for him, if he's not getting paid what he thinks is worth, then why risk it? Like, why? He's obviously done so much in combat sports. So I thought it was, I didn't think he was going to retire when he said it, but I've talked to Eric and just kind of think about it. I don't know if we'll see Cejudo again. And then other topics I talked with Eric were, he obviously coaches Paulo Costa. He wants Costa to fight Adesanya. He has high expectations for that. He thinks those two just hate each other so much, they're just going to go at it. And then we talked Korean Zombie as well. And he says Korean Zombie's ready to go. Like, July, August, we'll see him again. And now he thinks he can get the title shot against Volkanovski. He doesn't know if Holloway, Volkanovski is going to happen. He'd like to see Zombie. If not, which is kind of funny, he said, it's going to be Ortega. And not only will it be Ortega, but Jay Park, who Ortega slapped, will be in Korean Zombie's corner. And apparently he's going to be one of the top cornermen, like one of the front guys, like maybe even going into the octagon. Like, obviously Eric and the other coaches are going to be behind the fence, like talking to him, giving the instructions. But it's more just like to show Ortega, like, here's the guy you slapped in the octagon with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm down for any of those Korean Zombie fights, man. He's one of the best guys, and you can mix and match with anyone in the top 10 and be a good fight. Last question for Marcus. Last one. Do you guys think there'll be any UFC events with live audience this year? He wants to go to a UFC event. I want to go too, man. I don't see it happening for the foreseeable future, at least the next 6 months, I think. But I'm assuming Cole feels the same way, as from him shaking his head.
I just don't think you're going to have any mass gatherings or live events until you have a vaccine, and who knows when that'll be.
I agree. And last thing here, Justin Harris, Colby and Henry seem to be frustrated with the pay. Who isn't in the UFC these days? Cole, plug yourself. Let's go here.
Yeah, Twitter, @ColeShell91. Interviews I had with Ngannou, Barboza, Captain Eric, they're all up on BJPen on my Twitter. Everything else is just always on my Twitter, @ColeShell91.
Sweet. For me, @MMAdamMartin on Twitter, and at BJPen.com, MMAOddsBreaker.com, MMARatings.net. I'll be back Monday for the next podcast. And we'll do it Monday, Cole. You'll jump on with me. Or actually, you know what? We can, I guess, do a Tuesday, Cole. What do you think? Tuesday?
It doesn't matter to me. We can discuss
it. We'll stick to the normal thing. Me and Cole will break down UFC Fighter on Tuesday, and then I'll be back on Friday as well. Guys, have a great day and have a great weekend. Have a good one. Bye.